Let me say, because of the last question, you know, that was amazing to me, because I'm like, I'm taking no pain medication because I feel like I'm so rough and stuff that I had to take too much to help me. So I knew that was a danger, you know, for me taking stuff. So I'm like, ain't none of this old, all going to help me with the pain I've got. You know, I got all kind of words for it, right? But she put it on me, and I'm like, you know, and still at the beach, like, whatever. And then, you know, when I realized that I cut the grass, washed the car, and did all this stuff, like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then I thought about, oh, man, I was up, you know. So it kind of struck me by surprise, say, okay, let's do that again. And it happened again. It was like, you know, like you say, you take a pain medication, you wait for the pain to go away. When she put it on me, it was gone. I was like, it was just amazing, because my pain was 10 and 11, you know, crucial pain. And she put this on me and it just went away. It was just hard for me to believe that somebody, someone who took in so much pain can be relieved by something so simple. Mm.
Dr. Tiffany, do you mind sharing one of your blends? Like, what
please,
was
so she can rub me down? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, my knee hurt now.
What did you
my put? Back could use some
what did you we'll cash relief. At you. What did you
like I like what her head be on.
Alright, we got
1, 2, 3, let me step into the moon. Am I the one you see when you get into the mood? I tell them pump them keys while I keep up with your shoes. We got a real nice thing in the pattern of the groove. I can feel it flowing through. I see the sun so clear when you roll it down your back. As a matter of fact.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, I'm Mikey.
And I'm Randy.
And this is the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast, where we give you an uncensored look into all we're learning, unlearning, and loving about marriage in real-ish time.
Welcome all new and veteran listeners. This is season 7.
Yeah. We're still going. Still standing. We're still strong.
Y'all don't see how Mikey looking at me. We're glad y'all are here. We really miss y'all. We have batch recorded, okay?
Mm-hmm,
y'all,
mm-hmm.
Y'all, we getting our shit together.
Yeah.
7 seasons later.
It took some time. But you know what? You can't rush perfection.
You can't rush.
You know, you can't hurry love.
You
just have to wait.
You got.
I don't know the next line.
You can't hurry love.
It's too
no,
late.
You just have to wait. I don't know the next
you
part.
Supposed to make it
you
part of the dialogue. It's just a game of give and take, or you know, whatever
just
them girls said.
Game of give and take. Now, how many heartaches?
We're going off the rails.
Okay.
We're so glad to be back.
Yeah.
Special shout out to our A1 Day Ones, Chosen Family, and Gang Gang over on Patreon.
Y'all, some real ones. Thank you for your continued support and community and friendship. Thank you.
Yeah, and even though we weren't actively releasing episodes for the last couple of weeks, we have still been very much working with our family over on Patreon. So if you haven't joined yet,
you should. We're having lots of fun. We have a D&D campaign now, y'all.
Yeah, we've gone full nerd.
We've gone full
we love
nerd.
It.
No turning back.
It's been fun. Game night's still going.
Game nights.
Mixtape still flowing.
Ooh, speaking of
fun
mixtape.
Times. Don't worry about it.
And thank you to all our listeners for tuning in, as always, to our episodes, no matter when they drop. We love y'all. This season's theme is...
We haven't discussed.
We never discussed it.
So right now, we don't have one. We're just going.
No, I think our theme should be us. You know, I looked up the word reclamation.
I was thinking of something with an R in it.
Were you?
Reconstruction. That's what I was thinking.
The Reconstruction era?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. What? Revolution? GP, are you with me?
Yeah.
I've had
We're
coffee.
Going off the rails. It's fine. It's cute.
I've had so much coffee.
It's adorable. I like a jittery Randy.
I am wired. I need to do something grounding.
We'll go with something with a R and we'll fix it by the next episode. All right.
Mikey.
What?
This doesn't feel right.
It does feel right.
No, it doesn't.
It is. It's fine.
Okay. Something with an R, y'all. Reclamation, revolution,
mm-hmm.
resolution.
Mm-hmm. R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Okay. And yeah, and in this episode, y'all, we are going to talk with one of our new favorite couples, I think. One of our new favorite y'alls.
This was fun.
Dr. Tiffany Smith and her husband, Mr. Horace Smith.
In our first segment, we're discussing Dr. Tiffany Smith's work and how she used her work to help heal her husband from chronic pain.
Yep. Then later we have our fight or flight. Yes, a fight. We know we don't usually have fights when there's an interview, but this episode is special since it's our first one back for season 7. So today I'm confronting Mikey about his latest Freudian slip.
I don't slip.
Finally, we'll wrap it up with our PDA segment, where we will share something we're proud of for each other, and or express.
Y'all know how I go. Gratitude. We're going to show some love. And if you don't know how I go, that's what we do when we get to that section. Right?
You must make up after a fight.
Yeah. Common Chapman practice.
Mm.
We hope you enjoy.
Backstory, y'all. Dr. Tiffany M. Smith is a functional psychiatric nurse practitioner and founder of Aroma Functional Nutrition Psychiatry. She found her calling by helping her combat veteran husband recover from debilitating pain, PTSD, and other conditions. She witnessed the debilitating effects of the Western medicine approach and turned to functional medicine to create a holistic approach to healing. And plot twist, we actually met a few weeks ago, and the conversation was so good that we had to have her husband on with us.
Yay, more minutes.
And to that, we say welcome, 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 Dr. Tiffany and Horace, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
We are so happy to have you.
Thank you.
Would you both mind sharing a little bit about yourself, your marriage, how long you've been together?
Sure, I'll start. So Horace and I have been together since 1996. This is going on our 28th year, and in 2 more years we'll be hitting number 30.
Wow.
We met in our workspace together. We worked together. And it was love at first sight on both ends.
So who hit on who first in the office?
You did.
Who
hit on who first? I'll let you take the lead.
I noticed her first.
Nice.
And I was going in for a job interview. I decided not to go in for the interview. I just didn't want to do it. So I went back to the elevator. And as the elevator was closing, I saw her in the hallway sitting at a desk. I'm like, what the? And so I went in for the interview, just doing the interview. But, you know, as I was moving towards it, I kept looking at her and things. They might have had cameras on me. Because when I was in the interview, after I was being interviewed by the 2 owners, they say, okay, call her in. And so I'm like, who are they talking about? And it was my wife. And so they must have saw me looking at her through some cameras, something to call her in. She got next to me. Oh, I was just all messed up, flattered and everything. They must have had a good time, but it was kind of like mutual. And we just connected, you know?
I like that.
That's so beautiful.
So for me, I didn't know none of this stuff until later deep into the marriage. I thought I was first, kind of, sort of. I thought because he had walked by my desk and he walked by my desk, his nose up in the air, and he didn't look my way like, hey, how you doing? Hey, baby, or none of that Mac stuff. So that caught my attention because I'm in the walkway and I'm like, well, okay. I like that, you know, kind of respectful, not, you know, trying to put game down and stuff. So I say, give me his application. And I looked at his application. And so one day we had a potluck and I was in the back and he came back and I'm like, well, what you looking for? And he said, I'm looking for some dressing, for some salad dressing, because I brought the salad. And I said, no, it's already in there. I brought the salad. And then it went from there. And then later in the potluck, I'm packing up my salad and he's like, oh, wow, your husband must be real happy. I'm like, husband, I live with my grandma. He's like that. He said, that'll work. That will work. And that's when I knew. And that's when the love story began.
Wow. That was very smooth. Very, very smooth.
Yeah, our first interaction didn't go that way. Common knowledge on this podcast that my wife ignored me when we first met. I said hello. And 11. She just basically looked through me. And didn't even answer.
I was going through things.
It's fine.
We were in the counselor's office. It's a long story. We're not even going to do that.
She fell for the game later.
It's not about.
But it's fine. It's good.
Thank y'all so Thank much. You. When is your anniversary?
It's June 8th.
Oh, okay.
It's a June wedding, yeah.
Summer wedding.
And then our anniversary for our first date was October 28th, 1996. Wow. Because we've been together ever since.
Wow. Okay. Black love. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So thank y'all so much. So before we get into the interview question, as you both know, especially you, Dr. Tiffany, we have an icebreaker question that we're all going to answer. And the question is, what's a guilty pleasure song that you love that people wouldn't expect?
I'll start. All right. Megan Thee Stallion. Thought shit. I said it.
Why is this a guilty
judgment?
Why is this a guilty
pleasure
song? You should
feel terrible.
Well, I love feminine sexuality. I love being a sexual woman and being with my husband. Mm. And so that's what her music is about.
Yeah.
And so it's a way of expression to my husband, you know, doing that stuff. So it's just fun and entertaining. So it's fun.
Yeah.
I like to dance. Dance is my thing. And so, you know, to have music you can move to, mm-hmm. and, you know, be entertaining for my husband is important to me.
Okay. Mm. Thank you. Mr. Horace?
Oh, mine will be Tupac, Picture Me Rolling.
Okay, why is that one your... What about that song is
guilty? Because he's smooth.
You know, I can't remember all the words and lyrics, but as you speak, you know, it just reminds me of my life, you know? Mm-hmm. How, you know, everybody expect me to be one way, you know, and, you know, if I come to town, they're like, damn, dude, I ain't know you still alive, you know, or something like that. You know? So I'm like, dude, what do y'all think about me, you know? And so I'm like, Picture Me Rolling, because all the things I've done in life, a lot of people do that know me from the past have no idea of what I've been doing with my life. You know, mm-hmm. they have an assumption, because when we were on the streets or, you know, growing up, you know, I had to be who I had to be, and I was pretty rough, you know, yeah. but that was just, you know.
Thank
so
you.
Picture Me Rolling.
Picture Me Rolling.
Is that that picture?
Solid choice.
That is. Okay, Mikey.
Me?
Yes, you.
I don't have any guilty pleasures on. Everybody know that I listen to weird music. But the first one that came to mind actually was Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls. It featured in like most of the really white movies in the early 90s.
Well, how does it go?
I'm not about to sing that song.
Oh.
like it was in like Armageddon. Like City of Angels, like some other stuff. It was all the stuff that would play when we didn't have no cable.
Wait, is it the song when in Armageddon when they're about to go off into the...
I believe so.
What is it?
No. It's not that song. It's like the end of the credit song.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
I love you.
No song. I think in a past life, Mikey was a white man because he loved him. He loved him some white rom-coms and some white TV shows. Like
it's an escape
how
from
I
my
met
real
your
life.
Mother and
because there ain't nothing white about my life.
Well, we're right there with you because we watch Frasier.
I love Frasier.
That is classic television content.
Golden Girls. Oh, my God. Okay.
Golden uh-huh. Girls.
My yeah. guilty pleasure yeah. song is Hey Soul Sister by Train.
Okay.
Hey, so, hey sister, ain't that Mr. I love this song. Yeah. I think it may have came out that he like voted for Trump. I don't know, but I love that song.
Didn't he write that song about like him trying to talk to a black woman?
I don't know. But he in the song
I'm not
I don't know.
Sure if I know this song or not. Is it Hey Sister what is this?
No. Hey So Sister, ain't that Mr. on the radio? There
you gotcha. Okay.
If my memory serves me, that song is about a white dude trying to talk to a black lady. I think that's the premise of the song. We'll find out for the end of this.
But my
interview.
Art teacher okay. in high school used to play the song all the time. And okay. I just got hooked.
I'm judging.
Okay.
And so that's my guilty pleasure song because, you know, I'm black and I'm proud, but I love that song. But yeah, so that is my guilty pleasure song. Thank y'all so much. That was a lot of fun. Okay, so that question was supposed to warm us up, get us ready for these interview questions to come. And so the first one would be, so as we get into how you helped your husband, Dr. Tiffany, we'd like to first know, what is a functional psychiatric nurse practitioner? And what are your general thoughts on holistic practices versus medical?
The Western practice. Yeah. So as a functional psychiatric nurse practitioner, well, think about currently what is a psychiatric nurse practitioner is like the nurse practitioner form of a psychiatrist, which is an MD, and that specializes in mental health. So I'm a psychiatric nurse practitioner. So I'm able to assess, diagnose, and treat mental illness. I write prescriptions. I do the whole shebang that a psychiatrist would do.
Okay.
And when you think about mental health care in our Western culture, you think that you're going to, when you see a psychiatrist, you're going to get a prescription. You're going to go in, you're going to say you're sad, you can't sleep, and you feel anxious, and you know you're going to come out with that antidepressant, drugs, that anti-anxiety, and something to help you sleep. But, you know, I didn't want to be a drug pusher, you know, drug dealer. I didn't want to do that. And so a functional medicine approach understands that the body can heal itself if we give it what it needs to, that food can be medicine. And it helps you realize that in our Western medicine, that it treats symptoms and not the root cause. So you come in sad, they give you the anti-sad, right? Mm-hmm. But why are you sad? And the why is not answered in our current healthcare system. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes the pill isn't the answer. Mm-hmm. It can be other things. It could be physiological, or it could be circumstantial, or all of the above, or something else altogether. But there's no investigation as to the why. Because I'm functional, functional means understanding the function of the body. Mm-hmm. And then identifying the dysfunction within the body. So I can treat, I treat more than just mental health issues with a functional approach. I can help with blood pressure, weight loss, high cholesterol, all of these conditions, diabetes, heart disease. When you take a holistic functional approach, we're giving the body what it needs to do what it's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And that's heal itself. Our society doesn't have enough nutrient dense foods. We have a lot of high stress, physical stress, chemical stress, emotional stress. And so it's about managing all of that. It's about taking someone's lifestyle and giving them a treatment plan for their life, not just because you're sad. And that's how you're going to help them resolve whatever the healthcare issue is. So when we were in our journey, what we realized is what we thought the healthcare system was, it was not. Mm-hmm. We thought that in a healthcare system, we would find health, but that's not the case. What we find in the healthcare system is that when you're sick, when you're hurt, when life is threatened, the healthcare system is there for you. And they do a great job. You know, they save lives. They help you get your bones that's broken and fix all of that. But, and I even quote in some of my webinars that they state that they're not to enhance the quality of your life, you know, or promote health. They manage those acute symptoms. So when you're looking for wellness, when you're a health seeker and want to be well, you have to take a different approach than what our healthcare system provides. So we had to understand how to utilize our healthcare system and when we needed to take ownership of our health and use a holistic approach to get better and prevent as well.
Wow.
I kind of have an additional question, and I'm going to open this up to you, Dr. Tiffany, and Horace for your thoughts on this. Actually, you know what? This is just for Horace. When you hear someone talk about practicing medicine in this way, like listening to it now at my big age, being more mature, I can hear that and say, okay, that makes sense. If I apply it this way, this works. But I was also raised by a certain type of people, or around a certain group of people where like some people would kind of fight hearing conversations like this, like, oh, that's like a hippie approach. This is people who didn't really care for following the word of medicine anyway. People who actively avoid going to the doctor. Like when she talks about these things, do you like hear this, or at any point did you hear this and say, I'm going to ignore that and I'm going to just keep working with this medicine? Or did you hear that and we're immediately inspired to be like, I would like to try whatever it is you're talking about?
No, because I'm one of those persons, you know. I ain't going to no doctor. I ain't getting probed. I ain't getting stuck. I want you nothing. You know, and I think that what we don't realize is that wellness is something that we just automatically do is innate. Mm-hmm. So as you were younger, we practiced wellness. You know, it wasn't all the fast food restaurants. It wasn't this and that. You had family. You had church. Everybody ate together. It was a harmonious situation. You played on the block. You know, you had time out, street lights coming on, and you going in and going to bed. Mm-hmm. So we always practiced wellness, and we just didn't count it because it was just what we mm-hmm. did. And now that life has changed for us because we are full of convenience, we have to look at wellness as something that we need versus some just what we do. And I think that because back in the days, you heard about snake oils in the cowboy days or something like that, you mm-hmm. think things like that. But that's a whole different approach when you're talking about healthcare and wellness in this time of age, because we also have the history of medicine supporting wellness. So wellness is medicine. They're not really necessarily separated. They're together. It's just that it was separated because of the healthcare system. Well, I started practicing healthcare in 1988. So at that time, we practiced wellness as well. When you went to the hospital, they gave you things, gowns and your Emmons cups and things like that. When you were discharged, they give you an incentive spirometer, which is something that they don't give out anymore unless you had a surgery. Mm-hmm. And the reason why, because that incentive spirometer is something that can heal the person without any medication. So healthcare has moved away from all the wellness practices, you know, and we just haven't noticed it. It has been moving so fast. And that's what made me move away from nursing into administrative role, because in that point, you don't have any control. You have to do what's said, because the doctors don't rely on nurses anymore because they got electronics that they can look up information and stay on point. So, you know, so I would just tell people that, you know, you could look at the system and your experience and others that you know and love, and you can make the answer for yourself. Mm. You know, I mean, there's always got to be a way. And then you want a built-in second opinion, and you want to have a way to keep up with yourself. It just makes sense, you know, especially for men, because we kind of are not healthcare gravitating. Yeah. We kind of move away from it. So it just makes sense to me, you know, as a man and as a person to feel that way.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wow, this is going to be so good. Yeah, thank y'all. Okay, so can y'all tell us about the earlier days of your marriage when you were both living with the trauma of Mr. Horace's chronic pain? What are two things that greatly improved in your marriage when Mr. Horace began to take a more holistic approach to healing and like took your advice and like let you basically help and heal him? And if you don't mind, can you also tell us what caused the pain? I'm learning that PTSD is a lot of things. One of the things that makes PTSD is that it puts you back where you were, even though you aren't there anymore. And it's not just like mentally, but it's like you can smell the same thing. You're like, you're literally feeling like you're in that moment. So if y'all could tell us more about that. And also, just to help, we asked for two things, and one of y'all can take one each. So Dr. Tiffany and then Mr. Horace, what do you think really improved in your marriage?
One of the things that I really liked was the fact that we utilized aromatherapy in a part of our treatment plan, because Horace's criteria was nothing invasive, nothing by mouth. You know, he didn't want any of that. And so when I was approached with essential oils and stuff, I said, okay, this might work. And he gave me the approval that he thought, okay, let's look into it more. And I ended up going to school to be an aromatherapist. And so in that, I had to make different blends for him. And in just the beautiful thing about it was just the constant touch and connection with him in the use of aromatherapy. And I benefit as well because the oils are on me too. And so I get to benefit from utilizing the oils while I'm treating him. I learn how to create moods, how to change the atmosphere and how to adjust him. And what was amazing was the fact that these oils worked, and where he could be laying in bed in pain, uncomfortable, and I can come in and I would put oil on him and massage him. And then the next couple minutes, he is up and we're like, what are you doing up? So it was great to see how that, go ahead.
Yeah, let me say, because of the last question, you know, that was amazing to me, because I'm like, I'm taking no pain medication because I feel like I'm so rough and stuff that I take too much to help me. So I knew that was a danger, you know, for me taking stuff. So I'm like, ain't none of this old, oh, going to help me with the pain I've got. You know, I got all kind of words for it, right? But she put it on me, and I'm like, you know, and still in the beast, like, whatever. And then, you know, when I realized that I cut the grass, washed the car, and did all this stuff, like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then I thought about, oh, man, I was up, you know. So it kind of struck me by surprise, say, okay, let's do that again. And it happened again. It was like, you know, like you say, you take a pain medication, you wait for the pain to go away. When she put it on me, it was gone. I was like, it was just amazing, because my pain was 10 and 11, you know, crucial pain. And she put this on me and it just went away. It was just hard for me to believe that somebody, someone who took in so much pain can be relieved by something so simple. Mm.
Dr. Tiffany, do you mind sharing one of your blends? Like, what?
Please,
was,
so she can rub me down. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, my knee hurt now.
What did you?
My back could use some.
What did you? We'll cash app you. What did you?
Like, I like what her head be on.
I will give you an oil that you can look into that helps with a lot of pain.
Thank you.
And that's black pepper.
Ooh, really?
Take a look into black pepper. Essential oil.
We live down the street from an oil spot. So
we do.
700.
Oh, we do.
So that's one. And we should talk with them too, because then they'll give you, there's no one way to skin a cat with aromatherapy. because it's based on the scent. You may have a relationship with a certain scent that you like or don't like. You know, like somebody likes to walk in and smell warm bread or warm cookies, mm-hmm. you know, cooking. Some people might be put off by lemon.
Yeah.
And so it's what you smell can be really personal. So there is like multiple ways you can put different blends together and get a result for you. So you might be more therapeutic based, help my back pain, which is a muscular pain. And then you focus on the oils that can help in that area. And then you can create a blend of oils that work synergistically together to relieve that pain. And so that's kind of how we found ours.
Done.
Wow. That sounds fun.
It is going to be fun. I'm so excited.
I'm always making Mikey baths, but maybe he'll be more susceptible. You know, and more, I love like a good open scent. To like a
and you
scent.
Know, I love a massage.
So yeah, I'm
and lemon.
I'm thinking. Right? Thank you so much. So if y'all don't mind, could you tell us what the pain, like, what was it? Was it because of your time in the Army? Was it the Army or was it or the military?
Yeah, it was in the Army. Okay. Well, I just always been pretty rough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I run cross country, play football, you know, wrestle, those kind of things. And just an active kid, you know, even as a teen, just active. So going into military, my first duty was 101st Airborne Air Assault. So I became a 101st Airborne Air Assault soldier, going through different things, all hardcore thing. So I was getting medically discharged because I got hurt both my feet. But then when the war broke out, they, you know, was kind of confused. So I kind of put together the plan on how we're going to immunize the airborne units and move out. So after that, I got a letter saying you can't leave the military. So I went to the war hurt. So I was already hurt, you know, and so it just got kind of worse. I just had to endure all the pain I had and just carry on with my duties. So that was a big part of it, you know, and then over time, working in hospitals like Walter Reed, they have a lot of they have robots in the basement. They have electronics in the floor, and it kind of drains your Drew like an energy drainage as you walk those floors. Mm-hmm. And I could just feel it, you know, after a while. So it was just a combination of all the things I did, you know, to foster my career and my trainings in that sector, and then, you know, dealing with home life, you know, it's just a lot to do when you put that on the table as well. Moving and things like that. You got little kids. So I had to do everything myself, you know. So it's just a collaboration of things that just living life. And everybody got their own difference. You ain't got to go to war to get this. Right. You know, it's just everyday life starts to compound. And that's what happened to me. It started to compound on me. And you got to take in a point that even though I'm reaching goals and it might seem like I'm doing okay, but I'm not reaching my goals.
Right.
So it's not okay for me. So I'm having issues as well. even though everything looked like, oh, wow, you're doing it. You know, it's like, no, this is not it. You know, I have something, I had a bigger expectations for myself. So, and then getting out the military, I think I felt useless, like, you know, what's my purpose? Mm-hmm. You know, here I am saving lives, making a difference, and now here I am just a person.
Yeah.
You know, it just felt different, you know. Yeah. I didn't feel important, nobody to greet me with respect and this type of things, you know, so I kind of lost a lot, you know, in that. And that happens to a lot of military guys, you know, after 5 years, that's why after 5 years, they usually like, you know, go down, or, you know, commit suicide or something like that.
Right.
Thank you, first of all, for your service, because I don't feel like
you
said that at the beginning. And we are glad that you are alive.
Yes.
And well.
Thank you.
And that you fought for yourself.
Thank you.
And I just want to say that Horace excels at everything. So it's not like he was just an average old soldier just walking around. He's the expert in this, the fastest runner at that. He's the top of the line at everything that he does with all of that. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's just his will and his drive. And that's what made having the pain and almost being bedbound so hard, because it's totally the opposite of who he is, you know. And so we're just so blessed that we were able to figure it out and get him up to living his life and his true destiny, because that type of pressure of knowing who you are and just like reflecting on what you did in the past, and now you can't get out of bed because it's just holding you down, is so hard mentally. And so I'm so thankful to God. And that's why we speak out now, that to give people hope and inspiration that the answer is for you. And in our programs, we hope to be that answer as well. Because it's not easy maneuvering our healthcare system and finding the answers. And Dr. Google will confuse you so much and have you doing all kind of crazy stuff.
Everything is cancer.
And
yeah.
Yeah, so we're just so blessed that we found our way and we're here to speak to it. And I'm so blessed and thankful for Horace for trusting in me and having his own will and desire and strength and motivation to get to where he is today, to push through the pain and do everything that he's done. So I'm just so appreciative.
Wow.
Okay, Dr. Tiffany, better hype your man up.
All right, Mike, you can take the third question.
All right, so our third question, what, if anything, do you believe your kids have picked up from your work with your husband's own personal healing? How do you all still incorporate these things that work in your life?
All right. So, of course, our diet plan, what we prepare to eat and whatnot, they see our change. You know, like when we did some testing, I found out that I had an allergy to egg whites. Well, all of a sudden, there are no eggs in the house, you know. And then I slowly introduced better eggs, you know, so they're a part of all of our transitions, and they see us when we're exercising and working out, because they were in the house then. Now we've empty nested the last one, and we always got positive affirmation. Now we got our baby. He always gave us positive affirmation. And Horace, you just reminded me of the thumbs up. So I know you're probably going to bring it up, but he's always giving us thumbs up. Now he is in college and we're doing webinars now. And I just started them December 27th. And he was on every one of them.
Wow.
Until he went back to college, you know, listening to what I have to say and supporting me, giving feedback. He hears our story over again from a different perspective. Now he's an older young man. Hearing that. Now he'll still eat his chips and candy. He gets it, but he knows the truth. Okay. He got eyes wide open. Another thing, when I think about the kids, and I take it back to when they were very little, and in particular the youngest, was we were both in graduate school together, getting our master's. And so like on Monday nights, all the assignments were due. We were in the same school, different programs. So on Monday, the house shut down. We ain't cooking nothing. We are working on our papers. And I believe that in our youngest son, he saw that work ethic in school, because when he started to go to school, it was a job. He was on his stuff, dress right, dress. Mm-hmm. And then we brought them home and homeschooled them. And so he did kindergarten, first grade, and they were kind of wishy-washy. So we brought him home and he didn't want to do that. But all of his schoolwork was done by 10 a.m. We didn't have to oversee him or stand over him. He took responsibility and managed that. And he's so self-motivated. You know, he graduated on his 17th birthday in high school and graduated with an associate's degree.
Oh, wow.
And now is in college, living in the dorms, and is going into nursing. So self-motivated. And he's a kid, you know, he's had his bumps and everything as well, times when he didn't want to do the work. But I think that we really showed him that sort of work ethic and motivation and go get it ness.
What about your oldest? Were they too old to see, like, y'all, like, or were they?
No, let's see. With Dominique, we were working and we were upwardly mobile in his time. And he was the inspiration. Our oldest was the inspiration for me because I was a BSN RN to go back to school because I'm looking at his career options. He graduated at 16 as well. And I'm looking at his career options and looking at colleges and looking at, and I'm like, I'm looking at, well, what is this BSN going to get me really? You know, what? And I wanted more. I wanted some of that, you know? And so that's when I was inspired to go back to school. Horace always was a school person and wanted higher education, but he had to balance it with family life and finances and work and all of those things. So while he got his bachelor's, he wanted his master's. So I had that inspiration with the oldest. He ended up, he went to veterinarian tech school. I put everybody in technical school. And then he ended up going into the military. And so once he went into the military, Horace and I went into graduate school.
Wow.
And that's when we got our master's. So then the last two saw us going through school, you know, and all of that. So the middle son saw us go through, get our master's. Then the baby saw me get my doctorate.
Wow.
We'll get my second master's and my doctorate because the my first master's was in nursing education. I was a professor at that time.
Wow.
Then I got my nurse practitioner and doctorate. So those two saw us do that. And then the second one went to technical school, started his RN program, and then went into the military. And now my youngest son is getting his RN. And the thing is this, if you don't know what to do, you're going to go be a nurse first.
Yeah.
Because you'll make good money. You work 3 days a week, 12-hour shifts. You have 4 days where you can do all that other mess you want to do, you know, whatever your interests are that, you know, and I'm not worried about you not being able to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And so that was the goal. Until you get a plan, your own plan, that's the plan.
Yeah, yeah, my mother wanted me to take a very similar route. She wanted me to become a physical therapist for the exact same reason.
Exactly.
And I ain't listen.
But, you know, and the thing is this, on the journey, the hope is that in the journey, you'll figure yourself out. Yeah. You'll identify what you like and you'll move forward. And so with the first two, they went to the technical school. With my youngest, he was able to get his CNA license while in high school and got a grant for it. And then before he went to college, he worked as a CNA. And we said, this is going to be the test if you like this route or not. And he loved it.
Wow.
And so now he knows this is a direction he wants to go to. He at least knows he wants to take care of patients. Let's say that he likes that connection with patients. So that's how that happens.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Horace, do you have anything to add? You'd like to add to the question?
She was pretty thorough, you know. Yes. That was good. She was thorough.
Okay. All right, y'all. This is the final question. Okay. We wanted to end with something kind of hot and sexy dealing with marriage. Okay.
They smiling, y'all. For everybody listening to this.
We talked about the kids. We talked about the work. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the marriage.
Sex, baby.
Many people. All right. The last question is, many people believe that as you get older, the sex intimacy stops. And we'd like to know how you keep the spark alive. And do you have any advice, tips you would give to married couples, i.e. me and Mikey and others, who will also age and become empty nesters and so on?
You know, I think it's a myth that it fades out later. Mm-hmm. It fades out with them kids, you know.
She ain't lying.
And so what you have to, right. And so what you have to do, you have to
get
one thing
kids.
That horror right, it's the kids. So you got the beginning and the end is fantastic, but in that middle with the rearing,
be tired, sleep deprived.
Right. So you gotta know going in, we got some challenges, you know. And so Horace reminded me over and over that, you know, these kids are going to grow up and move out, you know, and that I am his wife, mm-hmm. you know, at the end of the day, they're going to leave and I'm his wife. Mm-hmm. And we have to maintain the fact that we have each other and we have to be together and we need to stay connected through all of this. So then at the end of it, we can flourish
right.
and move forward. And so at this point, we call this time in our life our grown and sexy time.
Okay.
Because now it's that time where we've grown, we've done things, we did the kids, and we've learned things through this journey about each other. And now we can take it another step and get deeper into each other, get deeper into our love and our expression of that mm-hmm. because the kids are gone. So it's like people work so and they're looking forward to retirement. I think it's a thing to look and be like, I can't wait until they go, you know, you know, that's an exciting thing. And you're building up to that. You're building up to that. You know, mm-hmm. you got to be engaged. You got to make them first for a while. Then you start as they get older and they pull back from you.
Yeah.
You pull back too. Go head on, because we got to have our date night.
Yeah.
Fix your pizza. You know.
The crazy is Drew loves pizza. Our daughter loves pizza. So the irony of you saying fix your pizza is so funny because she loves pizza.
I can't wait to say that to her.
Like, you go do it. Yes. Oh my God.
So like, because the thing is this, when they're younger, they need us more. But as they get older, they want their independence and need us less. And we have to know how to slowly detach as well and allow them to grow and flourish while we continue as the adults to grow and flourish as well. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, with the kids were there when we decided to go back to school, mm-hmm. when I decided to open my practice, they were there in all of that, but they were older and getting older and more independent where we had more freedom to focus on ourselves. And then when they're gone, we're not just looking at each other like, who are you?
Right.
We've been building and progressing towards this. And let me say, Horace's degree in administration, he's the administrator of our practice. Mm-hmm. So again, we're working together. Wow. So it's just, you got to remember that, because when you think about, you know, marriage is hard, but then when you think about raising kids, you both have different pasts, different backgrounds, and how raising children could be and should be. And you don't want those differences to separate you. You have to find a way to negotiate and have a common ground. You have to say, look, we chose each other and we got to figure out the same as far as how to raise the kids together.
Right.
And then that's going to help you be together. Because sometimes the kids can, it can seem like the differences is another reason that could pull you apart, but don't let it, you know, find the common ground, express why certain things are important to you. Why it's better. Why you feel private school is better than public. Why they got to wear the new Jordans instead of, you know, going to Kmart when, you know, they going to wear out of them in 2 months. I mean, explain and share your rationales and be open and willing to come to a consensus to work out those details mm-hmm. as they grow so you don't separate as a couple. And I know we've been challenged in a lot of ways back and forth, but we always come back to each other and realize and identify what was pulling at us, you know, mm-hmm. whether it was the kids or society or what have you.
Wow. Mr. Horace?
Well, one thing I think that in marriage is a lot of time, you go in and you start with equality. You know, 50-50, you know, you do this, I do this, and we're going to make this 100%. But I think that people overthink that thought is more equitable than equality. And sometimes someone might be pulling 10% and the other pulling 90. And sometimes that same person might be pulling nothing, the other person pulling 100. That's more like how it's going to go. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it was times when I were down and I'm used to going in and making that money and bringing it home. But it was times when I was down, I could only work 3 days a week and I'm getting worse and worse and worse, you know? And when it got to the point where my wife said, okay, maybe you should stop. You know, even though I was down, I decided to go to culinary school to be a chef and a baker mm-hmm. so I could take some of the strain off of her on that mm-hmm. end okay. of the ticket, you know? Yeah. So even though I was, if I get caught up in my equal and how much I bring in and things like that, then it can cause a disturbance, you know? you make more money than me, you work too long, things like that. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about what's equitable, it's that, okay, we got a plan. Like Dr. Smith just said, you know, it's all about us. And in order to get there, we got to get through this process and this process, which is going to make us stronger, but we're still going to go through our human actions, you know, and feelings. So, you know, I think that understanding the equability of your relationship and even just understanding what someone brings to the table, even if they're doing nothing that you're doing towards what you're doing, just them being there, talking to them, the intimacy, mm-hmm. the protection. It could be those little bitty things that's going to make you flourish. You just don't know it at that time, right. You know, but so that's about all.
That's powerful. This is actually really on point with like
today
life for us and what does it mean? Yeah.
I have to say that when I talk with couples, they do have these myths, like every, it has to be 50-50. You know, I do, and like one is saying, well, why aren't you holding up your end? And I think when we look at our relationships, we really have to be open. Mm-hmm. And to all the things that Horace just said, you just have to allow some openness and let your relationship be unique and something that you haven't seen before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it works for you. And if it works for you and the one that loves you and you guys are happy, then that is the rule for you. Mm-hmm. That is your thing. So we got to let go of kind of what we're taught, what we see. And we got to let that go and let us be us and flourish in our own. We have an intuition. We know in our spirits what's right, and we just need to let that be. Not that, oh, my parents and my grandparents, or this is how it should be. You know, you got to have something that, you know, some guidelines. But then when you get into life, you got to say, well, I guess it don't really fit now, does it? You know, to have this or be this or do that. So just that openness and flexibility. Because the first thing I ask couples are, do you want to be together?
Yeah.
That has to be established. Do you love each other and do you trust each other? Mm. If those are there, everything else can work out. You can do it.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
Period.
That's funny.
So a few things. So really quickly, because I know you got to do pick up Mike, but this has come up a lot for us, especially when I had Drew and I was home with her and all these things. And now we're in the season
just kind of common through our entire relationship.
Yeah, there's always like somebody's doing something. Like I was in school first, and then Mikey went to school, and then I graduated first, then Mikey graduated, and then he's more in the traditional job sector now, and I'm an entrepreneur. You know,
there's never been a time where I didn't have like a minimum of 3 jobs while doing something. Like,
right.
Okay. Like a lot of what Mr. Horace was, yeah, that's why I'm reacting the exact same
and
way.
And I've always been working since I was, we used to work together in high school. And so now we're in a space where like I'm not bringing in as much money as I'm used to bringing in because of my small business and entrepreneurship. And so we're relying financially on largely Mikey.
But I never ever look at it as like, all right, she has to do 50, I have to do 50, and we have to hold it together.
But because I get triggered a lot because I remember watching my grandparents and one of my grandmothers, she loved working, but my grandpa hated that she worked and she quit working. She was always at home. And I was like, I'm never gonna be like that. And then I'm like that, and it's not the same. So this conversation is really helpful because it's like, okay, so maybe I'm not doing 90% financially, but I'm doing, you know, however many percent on the spouse side.
I think talking, Dr. Tiffany, was definitely just a reminder.
Yeah.
To just like, it's
go
fun.
Easy.
Like right now.
Easy. Yeah.
Just calm. Just relax
do
yourself.
What like, you, that's what we are. Show up where you can. And so that's really, and it counts and it's enough.
And it's necessary. Whatever you can do today, it's great.
Yes.
If you can do more tomorrow, excellent. If you can't, we manage.
Yeah.
But those 3 questions that you asked, Dr. Tiffany, what were they again? Do you
want to be together?
Want to be together.
Do you love each other? And do you trust each other?
And do you trust each other?
Yep.
That's it.
Everything else can work
out. That's it.
Preaching.
Everything else can be worked out.
I was preaching last time. It's too. Just you preach.
Pastor Dr. Tiffany Smith. Also, gotta point this out. The people listening, you can't see this, but the love between them is very obvious. Like in a way, they like listen while the other one is talking.
And Dr. I don't know Tiffany if y'all kind of leans towards Mr.
She
Horace
is like leaning to the left
when he talks.
But also, Horace was like, you know, when Dr. Smith, like he's like, look at your wife, bro. Like he's like, nah, titles. Like I like that. I like that.
Yeah. This was such a blessing. Thank y'all so much. Yeah.
It was. Thank y'all so much for coming on. Mommy, you wanna?
I got a just a final comment. Just in our conversation and us talking and having Horace here with me in this conversation, I just hope that it's all very inspirational and that the listeners are like, you know what? Do I want to be with him or her? Do I love him or her?
Do I trust?
You know, and do I trust him? And if the answer is yes on all accords in both parties, work on it. Make it work. Push through. You know, situations and circumstances are short-lived. You know, oh, he ain't got no job. Y'all ain't got no car. You know, things like that. That's temporary, you know. But if you want to be together, you'll push through. And we could have a whole class and journey on that alone about getting through situations and circumstances. And so then when it comes to the differences, just have open and honest communication about why this has to be. My kids are going to always wear or have or be or do. Well, why is that important? Mm. And that's when you get down to really being vulnerable and getting to the root cause. And that's where you'll find compromise. So we don't have to have a high divorce rate. Really, it's just that people stop early on and just forget it. I'm out. No. Do you love them? Do you trust them? And do you want to be with them? And then work it out from there. So I hope that the listeners find inspiration. And I hope that in our community and our culture, we're able to work things out together and we don't have to separate and leave when we truly love and want to be with that person.
Right. Oh, Lord. That was.
Yeah, I'm going to go kiss on my wife as soon as we close this
that
out.
That was wonderful. Well, thank y'all so much. Are there some favorite resources you would like to share? Dr. Tiffany and Mr. Horace, or anywhere we can find y'all and we can let everybody know where to find you?
Yes. So, number one, I like to give your listeners this 21-day self-love journey. Because in this day and age, you lose yourself, right? You got distractions, you got kids, responsibilities, and you hear the word self-love. And we know we don't hate ourselves, right? So yeah, I love myself. But this journey is about taking a little bit of time every day with you. And it's a free private podcast that I want to offer your listeners. And what you'll do is you'll text self-love, S-E-L-F-L-O-V-E, as a compound word, to 702-919-4249. And then you'll get the text message and it'll walk you through getting this 21-day love thyself journey. And it's just all for you. It, like I said, it'll give you a step or technique or something to do every day that just helps you reflect on you and yourself and loving you and the beauty of you. So I wanted to offer that to your listeners. I do have a parent ownership manual that I am a part of. And in that I wrote about postpartum depression and perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. I offer a webinar that I do quite frequently, and you can go to the, I'll put all of this on, make sure this is on the website. I'm updating the website. I do a webinar where I talk about all these health conditions and how functional medicine and our approach can help people live a better life without the medication in a holistic way. And other than that, I'm building my Instagram followership. So follow me on Instagram at dr.tiffanymsmith.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank y'all. This was wonderful. And I'm definitely inspired. I know my key is too.
I'm about to go get some oils. I'm about to go hug on my wife when we wrap this up. I really appreciate y'all. And this is not going to be the last time we talk to y'all. We might need to do a part two.
No, we have to have y'all back on. Maybe just for Patreon. Okay. Let's talk about
it. We just going to talk randomly one day. Let's see where it goes.
Okay.
Yes. We have to make an Atlanta trip too. We have family there.
Yes. Oh, yes, y'all do. Y'all do have to come down here so we can see y'all. Y'all can meet the infamous Drew, our daughter, or going on 40. She is different. All right, engagement, y'all. What did y'all think about our episode?
Hopefully y'all liked it.
With the Smiths.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun.
It was fun.
We actually had a lot of fun. We hope they come back.
We do. We hope we don't scare people away. All right. And hopefully listening to this might have inspired you to maybe want to come chat with us too.
Yeah.
All right. Don't be shy. That's kind of what our phone number and email and all those things are for. All right.
And all that jazz. And are you more inclined to now take a more holistic approach to your health and marriage?
Let us know.
After hearing their interview. Mikey is trying to get this done. Okay. Shoot us an email.
blackmillmare@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 770-750-4098. Again, that is 770-750-4098.
Please leave us a voicemail.
Yeah, we're actually able to keep this one up. It's been in use. So, like, we're not in threat to lose it, but, you know, we want to hear from y'all.
Or hit us up on social media.
It's time for Randy and Mike's Fight or Flight. They've held it in all week, but you gon' hear it tonight. Don't really matter who is wrong or right, cause it's Fight or Flight.
All right, y'all, Fight or Flight. Okay, I'm gonna keep this. I'm gonna keep this.
You gonna keep? Okay.
So.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
What's wrong with you,
Mikey?
Yes, ma'am.
So I think we've been good.
We've been great. Yes.
Yeah. We ran out of lovability condoms. If anybody from lovability is listening to this podcast,
yeah, now's the moment. We're gonna go ahead and slip that in there, and we're gonna at y'all and any post that has to do with this.
Please go ahead and ship us about 30 more, because we finally ran out
again.
And they are made of vibranium
again. This is the larger.
Yeah, this
pack.
Is the second. Yeah, it was a large pack. Cause the first time we just got what 12. Anyway, if y'all could send some
and stop playing.
Because y'all, anybody who's looking for really good condoms, leave Trojan where they are.
Yep, in the trash.
And get you some lovability condoms. So anyway, it's been great. But the other day, at the time of this recording, you were kissing on me, you know, kissing on my back and stuff, and it was tickling me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Mikey, your beard. You were like, your beard. And I was like, so you...
I just want it to be on record.
You let it slip that you do, in fact, think I have a beard, even though.
Okay.
So, as you all know or may know, hormones are hormoning. Okay.
And ever
since I had,
y'all can actually skip this whole fight or flight.
Before I had children, I had one measly chin hair, and I would just pluck it every quarter. It was just one.
Father, if you hear me.
I am fighting.
Please release me.
I'm putting out my fight. Okay.
Go ahead, baby.
And then I had children. I've had 3 pregnancies, as y'all know. 2 births. Okay. And the hair just.
Y'all know what's crazy and what just came to mind? I really want to get like a Monopoly themed tattoo. I'm sorry. Go ahead with your fight.
I have chin hair now, y'all. And also because I got off birth control. Okay. Okay. I'm trying to regulate. Okay. And.
It's just that I really love Monopoly.
Paul.
And you would think by
Paul,
now. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's my fight.
It's your fight. I'm listening.
You would think, right, that things would level out now.
Is it weird to have like a white man tattooed on you?
Mikey, it is my fight. Okay,
go ahead.
If I did this to you,
I'm sorry. You're right.
You'd be having on big eyes.
I'm locked in. I'm locked in. Go ahead,
babe. Babe, I'm trying to do the thing.
I'm sorry. I'm focused.
Babe.
I'm focused.
I'm trying to do the thing.
Please.
Babe.
Fight with me.
Babe, please. Look at me. Look at you. Y'all hear this?
Is this what I sound like to you?
Randy always interrupting me.
Is this what I sound like to you?
You said you went to record and now
she's still gone.
So, listen. No talking.
Yes, ma'am.
I have chin hair from time to time, okay? And I am very self-conscious about it, as Mikey knows, because I am not used to it. But alas, here we are. Okay, and Mikey's always like, I don't give a fuck about this chair. Come here, give me a kiss. Let me rub your chin. But Drew, as he knows, has been touching my face, and she'll go to my chin, and she'll be like, and then she'll rub it, and be like, what is this? You're not a dad, and I have to explain to her that sometimes women have chin hair. Sometimes, and I have like little chin. Okay, at least I thought it was little until he said it was a beard. So, and she was like, but wait. You're a girl, I'm a girl. Am I going to have this when I get older? And there was a whole thing, okay? There was a whole thing. I talk off a ledge. And Mikey knows how this makes me feel. Okay, y'all. I do shave it. I will take any recommendations. There is somebody on Instagram who sells like this oil. I know it's also a hormone thing that I'm working on, you know? But anyway, Mikey knows that I'm so conscious about this when I happen to have it, because this shit grow back fast. Okay. I wake up in the morning, it's like, huh?
And so your fight was?
My fight is, you really think I have a beard, and you said it in response to me bringing up your beard.
Okay.
And it hurt.
Got it. All right. So a little extra context here for everyone listening. I'm stupid. And whenever someone in this house or period says something to me, I say that same thing back to them. So if you were to say, my feet stink, I'd be like, your feet stink. If you were to say something back to me, I'd be like, your face. Like, I'm just stupid like that. This is the common practice for me. So when Randy said your beard, I was like, your beard. And did not at all think that Randy would internalize this and take this to the levels that she has taken
it. The levels.
Only because Randy's beard, quote unquote, is three little hairs.
Mikey.
It's three little hairs that bunch together for one moment every 6 months.
No, it don't.
And appear to Randy as peach fuzz.
It is.
It is the finest little hair. It's the same amount of hair that you would catch like on a fish. Like if you were to shave a fish and then look at the razor afterwards, those hairs would be Randy's hairs. Not scales, people. Actual hairs. And so I'm not doing this with you.
Yeah, no way.
Additional context. Drew don't like when I rub my beard on her face, my actual beard. When Drew asked one day, why is there hair on your face? I said, it's because dads have hair on their face. Sometimes people grow hair. Daddy has a lot all over, and it's just a thing that might happen. She asked, well, I have a beard. I said, no. Then Randy came out of nowhere and was like, well, I don't know, it's possible.
No, I didn't. That is not how that happened. She was rubbing my face.
You came out of nowhere one day. We were in the kitchen while we were having this conversation. Mikey. And you was like, she might. I was like, oh, well, you know, it's possible. But like, it won't be real. Then she came over to talk to you.
No.
And started rubbing on your face.
No.
Yes.
This and is you were, not what happened.
This happened. This is an actual situation that happened.
It's not this one I'm talking about.
It's not. I'm talking about a completely different one. Okay. You then told your daughter that you have a beard.
That's not what I said.
You did. He's like, yes, mom has a beard.
No,
and you
I
don't.
Didn't.
Randy, you don't have
Mikey,
a beard. You that. Confirmed having something that does not exist.
Mikey, I did not tell her that.
And then we had to go ahead and talk about the differences between man beards and woman beards. It was a whole thing. Ultimately, ain't shit on your chin. And I love you. I do. Even if you did have a beard.
Paul.
Even if you did have a beard, I would still love you. Which is why I'd be kissing on whatever little hair grow there every 6 months.
Mikey, it'd be here. It'd be here.
Randy's actively rubbing her chin right now. Y'all ain't shit on her face.
Touch my chin. Touch my chin, Mikey.
Oh my God. That's crazy. That's
don't you
so
feel
thick.
It?
Jesus fucking.
Mikey, you feel it.
Anyway, I love you, wife.
I love you.
And your beard. That's my fight, and I'm sticking to it. In the next episode, we'll discuss Mikey's idea for a Monopoly tattoo.
PDA.
Willy, won't he?
PDA. Okay. Well, Mike, I love you.
I love you.
Thank you so much for recording this episode with me before the time we set for recording.
You're welcome.
I was on a roll and I was like, let's just get it out the way.
Randy's in her creative juices flowing bag, which
and
I
it's been a minute.
Support.
So I've been like, let's just do it. Okay. So yes, thank you for that. I'm very grateful to you because it takes two to tango and two to podcast this show.
And two.
I'm also grateful to you for a few days ago. I was like, Mike, I need more help in the mornings. Me and Drew, it's just, I need help. And you were like, okay. And you have been getting up in the mornings, getting her together. And it's made such a difference because this baby be smiling. She don't be like, mom, 10 minutes. Mom, I just can't do it. She popping up out of bed, mainly because she gets TV at night if she does this. But also because you're just really good at, you know, that whole motivation dad thing, you know. you're really good at
I'm good at that dad
and I really and then I can get dressed and brush my teeth without like and I don't feel like rushed and like exhausted and irritable, and it's really made a difference. I'm very grateful to you. Thank you very much for getting up. There was a time where you weren't getting up in the morning sometimes because you were working later at night and or because you were doing drop off or pick up, and you still do pick up and I had to drop off, but now you have the capacity to do so because of how your time has shifted and freed up. And I really appreciate it, Mike, because it was getting hard. And I was feeling a lot of shame and things or guilt about like asking for help because you do so much. But you are a parent and you are my husband and you are my friend. And I realized I wasn't treating you like that. And so I just asked and you were like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. And it's been great. So thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I didn't know that that's how you were looking at it at the time, because, you know, if you ask, I'll do.
Right. Like, but I didn't want to give you.
I thought
like,
that you were letting me sleep in because you knew I was dealing with a depressive episode and it was the only time I was able to sleep because I wasn't going to bed on time and you were just allowing me rest because I don't get it.
Same difference.
Oh.
It was.
No. I was like, yeah. She's like, I can actually. So this is what it's like when you get to just like sit in your depression and like just kind of like work through it.
I just didn't want to.
I thought you would just get me down.
It really. I mean, obviously, it also seemed like you needed to sleep.
Yeah.
I do. So I was like, well, I'm just going to have to eat this because, you know, Mikey has to sleep. Yeah. But then it turned into like guilt. Like, this is really hard trying to wrangle her.
Which is fine. Also, the morning routine is like, it's a fun thing for me. I enjoy the morning stuff, especially when I have energy. I don't think it should take more than 20 minutes to get out of this house, personally. Yeah. And it shouldn't. And that's if you like slow walking it. So I'm glad that I could help. But you specifically said, like, your daughter is like, and I have one morning I listened, and Drew is not being herself. I was like, why is she? She is weeping. She was wailing. I was like, what is happening?
You came in here, you were like, what is it? Like, your daughter was like, Mom, I'm trying. I swear I'm trying to get out of bed. What do I do first? And I was like, well, first open your eyes. And Mike, she was like, I can't open my eyes.
Y'all, I'm hearing from across the house, like, why is she wailing? Like she's being stabbed. And I had to get up. And I walk in the room and I was just silent. And I was like, no, where's the crying?
And I just looked at Mike depleted.
Because she don't do this shit. With me. Like, she don't. That was insane.
Mom, I can't do it. Mom, so I swear. Anyway, I'm trying. No. That's what she says to me.
Now, Drew hops up, and let's call it 45 seconds. She gets in the shower. She goes, use the bathroom, brush your teeth, wash your face. We get dressed, and as long as Randy is dressed, y'all can leave. Yeah. Like, it's not this don't got to be a thing.
It's great.
It needs to get dragged out. No extra time. Get your ass out of bed. but yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
And I love you.
I love you.
My PDA. Mm. All right. So I know you notice. I notice you noticing me. And I just wanted to put you on notice that I noticed you too. And I like that you've been getting with me. If you know where that reference is from, you're a real one. Randy looking lost. So I don't think she understood what episode of The Fresh Prince that was.
Oh.
And that's fine. I think, if I may be so bold, that we have been having fun.
Yeah.
As of late, which I have thoroughly enjoyed. I like having fun with you. Yeah. Shit ain't always got to be serious, or gloom deep. And doom, or deep, specifically. Don't you miss shallow?
I do.
Surface
actually.
Level? Just fun interactions for the hell of things being fun?
I wish I missed the YMCA swimming pool.
Before the pandemics in the world got super serious, when we were just like, we just had fun. Don't you remember fun?
I do.
Because we've been, I think, having that. Example I'm gonna throw out here, y'all. Randy has started playing video games.
I have.
And it's adorable. It's adorable that in her grown adult age, she has now discovered the joy of video games. And I'm not being sarcastic. I am serious. I have been trying to get Randy to play games with me since we've been together. All right. Telling her how cool they are. Letting her play. Showing her how the buttons work. All those things over time. And Randy, what it took finally was for the world of video games to collide with Randy's interest. And that was Hogwarts.
Yes.
Once Hogwarts was released, I knew that I had to get this game. It took me forever to finally find a copy, but I did. And I made Randy play it. And God, y'all.
You didn't make me. I did. I begged you.
I said, you're about to play this game.
Yes.
And you're going to play this game. This is happening. And so I put it in front of you.
I'm having so much fun.
And now Randy loves it. She loves it.
Right? I wish J.K. Rowling was a better person. She's since opened herself up
to other games. Look, J.K. Rowling don't have to be a better person for it to affect what our childhood was. All right. We all enjoyed the books. It's okay that you love the story. It's okay that you love magic and also don't like the person who wrote it anymore. Because now I also hate the motherfucking the woman who taught herbology.
Why?
The actress who had them pulling the mandrakes out. Have you not seen any of the recent articles about this woman?
No.
Yeah, she don't like nothing, nobody. She hate people who are Harry Potter fans. She was like, y'all should have grown out of that by now. Anytime anybody references me from that movie, I actively hate it. She didn't want to record a movie in Georgia because she hate Georgia. She
was like, what?
She's been ruining
her.
Yeah, no. So now we beefing. Anyway.
Well, Hogwarts Legacy takes place before all
exactly.
of them.
Exactly. So you are allowed to enjoy magic and games and stuff. But ultimately, like, just having some downtime and seeing you partake in that, something that's not an emotional skill builder, something that is not emotionally draining, also something that is not about anything other than just video games and magic. Just watching you play has been very, very fun. And I also been able to play games alongside you because you bought me like this little video game emulator. And it's been great. As we finally start to get our living room together and set up this entertainment area and other systems start to make their way in here, I just want to make sure that we continue to keep play in our space, in our relationship. We are surrounded by games, dominoes, cards, whatever you want to call it. Like, that's a thing that's always been a constant in our relationship. And whenever we bring games out and we just have fun and we play, it's a reminder of like the fun. And hopefully with this season, which theme we will again make sure we are very clear on with the next episode, we can continue to make sure that we leave play as a constant, because I like having fun with you. And I am tired, honestly, of the seriousness and the grief and the sadness. I spent a lot of years on that. And it's for the birds at this point.
Yeah.
And a nigga would like to just play with you.
Hey.
And you don't have a beard.
I do.
Love you, wife.
Love you. Thanks, babe. I love you.
You are welcome.
Call to Action, the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast, is hosted and co-produced by Mikey and Randy Chapman. All episodes of the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast are edited by Randy Chapman at Wordy Productions.
Wordy Productions, the premier production company out here making all of the fire-ass podcasts, including yours if you want to get one started, all right? She is temporarily at the moment, I think, might be open back to taking on clients. She got a full list, but if you can get in there.
I'm definitely open for some podcast strategy sessions. If you're up to that, there's a sale going on, 50% off. Hit me up. Go to my site, www.wordyproductions.com.
That's
there's
right.
A big announcement button. Can't miss it. Click it. And yeah, let's talk podcasts.
Pay my shorty for her shit. All right. We are now and still available on all streaming services. All right, I'm gonna leave it right there. If anybody give us a bag to mention their specific service, we'll do that. But wherever you can find podcasts, that's where we are. Rate us
5 stars and review us, y'all. We love reading your reviews. We love shouting you out. We love putting them on Instagram and all the things. Listen.
Yeah.
Review us.
We need it. Yeah. All right. The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast Fight or Flight Jingle was created by Ebony Janae at Janae Jingles. Details in our show notes.
Yes, thank you, Ebony, as always, to hang out with us and support our work as independent creators. Join us on Patreon at patreon.com/blackmillennialmarriage. There you'll get access to our Discord channel, unedited and edited ad-free episodes, Zoom meetings with us, and more.
A lot more.
And game
night. The community's
nights,
taking off, y'all.
D&D.
It's a thing.
Book clubs.
Stop playing.
Book blogs.
You are missing out.
Our Discord is really fun, though.
This is not a sales pitch. This shit is actually cool. Follow us on social media platforms. On Instagram, we are
Black Millennial Marriage.
On Facebook, we are
Black Millennial Marriage Podcast.
And on X, formerly known as Twitter, we are
Unfortunately _ the Chapman.
Still had to hold on to the name.
Thank you again for listening, y'all.
As always, be blessed.
Don't settle.
Fight clean.
Peace.
When you get, 1, 2, 3, let me step into the moon.